Let's linger for a moment on the sound of protest. Demonstrators in Hong Kong brought instruments into the streets and called their government useless, although their sheer numbers speak more powerfully than what exactly they said. Now, as you listen, picture a mass of people on a major street filling all the space between skyscrapers for as far as you can see. Some of them chanted no extradition, which is the issue here. Hong Kong is part of China, but still has an independent judiciary. It's left over from British colonial times, and China committed to preserve that when the British left. The extradition law, if passed, would make it easier for mainland China to take suspects away into its own much less transparent system. Natasha Khan of the Wall Street Journal is covering this story from Hong Kong. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Dave. It's good to be here.
What have you seen?
Yesterday was a pretty extraordinary day in Hong Kong. As you described, it was really one of those things where, you know, it was the only thing people were talking about, and, you know, it really caused gridlock in the northern part of the city, and it was just, people in white shirts, which was the dress code, holding up red placards, you know, all day, and, you know, walking for 7 hours from a park to the government headquarters, you know, patiently. You know, if you can imagine a million people walking through the street, you know, it's quite a line, basically.
Who would be affected if this law were to take effect?
I think basically, you know, it could take effect in a few weeks. And the fear is that, you know, China could use this agreement to, you know, extradite people, let's say, that they don't really like to China for trial. And as you had mentioned, you know, the legal system is much more opaque there.
Are there a lot of people who are critics of the Chinese government who are on the outs in some way, who have effectively taken refuge in Hong Kong?
Yes, there's quite a lot of, I think Hong Kong has always been a haven for dissent. And, you know, here in Hong Kong, there's the freedom of protest, freedom of expression, which is much more limited in China. So a lot of people are worried that under the pretense of another, you know, trumped up charges, basically, that they could then be extradited back to China.
Well, would they still get a hearing? Would they still get a hearing in Hong Kong's more independent judicial system before they disappeared into China?
The government has stressed very strongly that that would happen. Again, I think here critics say that, you know, for example, in the case of a bookseller that disappeared from Hong Kong a few years ago, you know, it seemed that the crime he was charged for in China was quite different from what, you know, might have put him in the crosshairs of the Chinese government.
Oh, and this is a person who disappeared without judicial proceedings, even without this law that has not yet been passed. I want to ask one quick question. I want to ask one quick question before we go, though, Natasha Khan. We've had these huge protests, but as I understand it, the chief executive of Hong Kong is appointed by mainland China. So does anybody in Hong Kong's government need to listen to a million protesters?
Well, I guess it then goes back to who a city's leader should be accountable to. So I think that's really at the heart of what the protesters were shouting about yesterday. So, you know, you could see a lot of people calling for the leader to step down because exactly what you're pointing out to, which is that, you know, who is she supposed to be serving? You know, that it should be for the people, but unfortunately they feel that she is not doing that and instead really trying to please Beijing.
But she can stay the course.
But for now, it seems to be the case, yes.
Natasha Khan of the Wall Street Journal, thanks so much.
Thank you.